Good morning, and a warm welcome to the service this morning. Those who are here with us, it's good to have all of you. There's some who are back in church for the first time in over a year, and it's especially good to have you back. Some who are in church here for the first time, and you're very welcome. It's good to see you. And there's some who are visiting with us as well. And so a warm welcome to all who are gathered in the building, and also not forgetting those who are watching online at home or listening in on the telephone. It's good for us to come together and to worship God. A couple of intimations. First of all, just to remind you that the service this evening, there'll be an in-person service again at 6 o'clock, and it will be live streamed. So be encouraged to come along if you're on the list, or to tune in to the service this evening. The prayer meeting will be on Wednesday at 7:30 on Zoom still, so also a warm welcome to join in that. And also, in terms of intimation, two sad notices, probably most of you will have heard by now, but Ian Davidson, who fought cancer for so long and so bravely, he passed away very late on last night, just before midnight. So we will miss him, and we thank God for him and for his life and for his witness, especially in these latter weeks where he proclaimed his faith in Christ. We pray for Shona and for the boys, for all those who were close to Ian. They will miss him the most. We will miss him very much in the congregation and the community as well. And so there's no details yet about funerals, but let's be remembering the family in our prayers at this time. And also, I got a message from Angus McKellar this morning to say that Dr. Hay, Kirsty's father, his father-in-law, passed away early this morning. I think it was about 6:30 this morning. And so we remember Kirsty and Angus and the wider family. And I know Dr. Hay was known well to a number of you here. And so we pray for the family as we give thanks to God for the life of these people, both of them, who trusted Christ. I think we'll pray just for a moment before we sing. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that on your day we are able to come into your presence. And we thank you that when we feel that sense of sadness and loss, when those whom we have loved have gone from time into eternity, we thank you that we can come to you and we can seek the comfort that you alone can give. We thank you for a peace that is offered, a peace that does not come from this world, but is the peace of heaven. And we pray that we would know that peace on this day. We thank you, Lord, for Ian and for his life. We thank you for Dr. Hay also and his life. And we pray for the families. We will continue to pray for them in the course of this day and in the days ahead. And we commit them to you and ask, Lord, that you would minister to them in the power of your Spirit. We thank you, not only do you give us comfort, Lord, in that sense of grief that we have, but we thank you that you give us hope. For those who are in Christ, we thank you that there is a sure and certain hope. It's the hope of resurrection. And even on this day, the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, where we gather together to remember that Jesus rose from the dead, we thank you that that resurrection life is promised to all who believe. And we thank you for Dr. Hay and for Ian, and for the faith that they had and professed, the faith that we could see in Christ as they lived. And we thank you, Lord, for the comfort, for the encouragement that brings to us today. So hear our prayers and lead us and guide us as we seek to come together to worship you. May we be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. May we know your help. May we know your presence. And may we be worshipping you in spirit and in truth. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to hear now God's word being sung, Psalm 147. Psalm 147, and we'll hear the verses 1 to verse 7 of the psalm sung by Cammie. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good. Praise to our God to sing, for it is pleasant and to praise. It is a comely thing. God doth build up Jerusalem, and he it is alone that the dispersed of Israel doth gather into one. Those that are broken in their heart and grieved in their minds, he healeth, and their painful wounds he tenderly upbinds. Down to the end of verse 7, and we'll hear God's praise sung here in the building. We're not able to sing ourselves as a congregation yet, but those who are at home, you can sing at full volume. So let's praise God from our hearts and with our lips.
Praise ye the Lord, for it is good. Praise to our God to sing, for it is pleasant and to praise. It is a comely thing. God doth build up Jerusalem, and he it is alone that the dispersed of Israel does gather into one. Those that are broken in their heart and grieved in their minds, he healeth, and their painful wounds he tenderly upbinds. He counts the number of the stars, he named them every one. Great is our Lord and of great power, his wisdom search can none. The Lord lifts up the meek and casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord and give him thanks, on harp his praises sound.
Again, let's unite our hearts in prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, once more we thank you for the privilege of being able to come into your presence. We thank you for the freedom that we have to be able to hear your praises being sung in this place. We thank you for the freedom that we enjoyed in the past, and we hope to enjoy again in the not too distant future, where we are able to unite our voices together to sing praise to God. We thank you for the desire that you've placed in our hearts to praise you. We thank you that you've brought us here together this morning, those in the building and those who watch in their own homes. We thank you, Lord, that you are the God who draws us. We think of the words of Jesus, who said to the disciples, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." And Lord, we thank you that as we hear the voice of Jesus, as we sense our sin and our need of salvation, we know that you, Lord God, are working in our lives. This is not something that we can manufacture in our own hearts. We do not decide suddenly that we will follow Christ. But we thank you that you are the God who stirs our hearts. You're the God who opens our eyes and unblocks our ears in such measure that we are drawn to Jesus. And we pray, Lord, for each of us here and anyone listening this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your work in our lives. And we thank you that for any who know their sin, we know that that's evidence of the Holy Spirit working in a heart. He is the one who came into the world to convict all people of sin. And we know that if our eyes are being drawn to Christ and if our ears are being opened to hear his voice, we know, Lord, that you are working in the power of the Spirit. And we are being given opportunity to be saved. And we thank you for the promises of your word, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. No one who comes to him will be cast away, but all who come in faith, confessing sin and seeking salvation, have the promise that that salvation will not be withheld, but will be given. So we pray that each of us, Lord, would know the assurance of that salvation even in this day. May we not be hardening our hearts even at this time. But as we hear your voice, we pray that we would respond in faith by coming to Jesus. Come to me, said Jesus, all who are weary, all who are weighed down under that weight of sin, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so we pray that we would know that rest of knowing that we are saved for all eternity. And that peace that we are given in time as we meditate upon that promise. We pray, Lord, once more for your help, for your comfort this day. And as we grieve, as we feel that sense of loss for those whom we have loved and spent time with for past years and decades in some cases, we pray for your comfort. We think of the words of Paul to the church in Thessalonica when he said, we grieve, but not as those who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. We believe that Jesus is coming back and will bring with him all who have trusted him. We thank you for the everlasting hope that is given to us in Christ. In Christ alone, we so often sing, our hope is found. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. And we ask, Lord, that we would know that power, that comfort this day. And we pray especially for families that are grieving. We think, Lord, of Shona. And we ask that you would comfort her, that you would uphold her, that she would know your presence, that your peace would be about her. We pray for Ian's mum, who's so up in years, Annie, and we ask, Lord, that she too would know your touch upon her life. We thank you that she is trusting in you, and we pray that she would know that balm of your spirit in her heart this day. We pray for the boys. We pray for Mark and for Lewis and for Jodo. And we ask that you would minister to them. We pray, Lord, that they would know your presence and that they would know your peace. We bring all four of the boys to you. And we ask, Lord, that you would be near to them, that your hand would be upon them and that your strength would be given to them over these days. And especially for Scott, as he makes arrangements, we pray, Lord, that you would uphold him and that you would help him. And we pray for the McKellars and for the wider family. We ask that they too would know your presence, your peace. And we thank you that in your providence that you enabled Kirsty to be at home with her father at the time when he passed from time into eternity. So bless the family over these days. And for all who are struggling, for all who are in need of help, Lord, we bring them to you. We thank you that we can bring whole countries to you in prayer. We think about India. We think about Nepal, two places that are in such dire need just now, feeling the worst blast of COVID. And we ask, Lord, that you would have mercy upon them, that you would enable the help that is needed and the medicine that's needed to get through to those who are most in need. And we pray for your people in these countries. And we ask, Lord, that you would help them and that you would enable them to be light in the darkness, that you would enable them to speak a word of hope when there is a feeling of despair. So hear our prayers and help us, Lord, as we seek to worship you. Help our eyes to be fixed upon Jesus, and help us, we pray, to be responsive to the Holy Spirit. Receive us in Christ, Father, we pray, and may we know your love and your touch upon our lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Boys and girls, we have a few of you here this morning. And we have a few more at home behind the camera that I can't see, but you can see me. So I've got a couple of things to show you, and you can maybe tell me what these things are. So, first of all, there's this. Does anybody recognise what that is? You see that, Cal? John Roddy? What's that? It's a first aid box, you're right. Lives in the kitchen on the wall, just in case there's any accidents. So, what's in the first aid box, do you know? Any idea? You ever had to open a first aid box and have a look in? I'm not going to, because I'll just make a big mess of it. But what's in a first aid box? What do you think, Callum? What do you think what might be in there? Or Lily? Any ideas? Well, it tells me in the back. You must know, Ailey, come on. And Alistair, your mum's a nurse. Go on, Alistair. Stuff like bandages, yes. There's bandages and dressings in here, and there's things that you can wash. So in a kitchen, the most likely thing that's going to happen is you're going to cut your hand, maybe, when you're trying to chop something. So you need to clean the cut and make sure that you can put the bandage on. And so the first aid kit, that's what that's for. And I thought there might be tablets or there might be something in a first aid kit that would help you if you were sore, but apparently not. So does anybody recognise what this is? Yeah, Katie? Calpol. It's Calpol. Every house with people who are young knows what Calpol is. And what do you use Calpol for? When do you get Calpol? What do you think? Emily?
When you feel sick.
When you feel sick. If you're feeling a bit hot, or you're feeling a bit sore, or you're feeling a bit sick, then the bottle gets opened, the wee scoosher thing goes in, open that wide, two scooshes, and after a wee while you start to feel a little bit better. So we have a first aid box, and we have something here that helps us when we're sore. Gives us a bit of pain relief is what the nurses and the doctors call it. Do you know that God has a first aid box for us? What do you think it is? Where do we find God's help when we're sore in our hearts? John Roddy?
The Bible.
The Bible. The Bible is like God's first aid box. And the Psalms especially, we were just singing one of the Psalms, and one of the old preachers from a long time ago said that the Psalms are like God's medicine cabinet. And we can find medicine for our hearts when they're sore when they're sick. We can open up the Bible. We can go to the Psalms. And it's like medicine for us. God, he speaks to us through the Psalms. And he gives us his words. And it's like medicine for our hearts. It's like a first aid box for our souls. But you know, if there was someone in the kitchen who was chopping up the vegetables for the soup, and they got a cut, and it was a bad cut, then we might know there's a first aid box on the wall, but would you try and to fix the cut yourself? If you were looking around here just now, and you were thinking, well, somebody's just got a bad cut, and they're very sore, I'll tell you what, I'll just fix it. Would you do that, or would you maybe look to somebody else? I think we'd look to someone else, wouldn't we? I can see nurses all over the place. I can see a doctor. There are physicians. It's the complicated word, the old-fashioned word, for those who can help. And if there was somebody in a lot of need, then we'd probably ask one of them all over the place. Can you help? Because I wouldn't try it. And if you don't have any training, you'd be best not to try it either. But let me ask you a question, boys and girls. Who's the greatest physician that ever lived? And I'll give you a clue. It's not Dr. Latham. He's a good doctor, but it's not Dr. Latham. Who's the greatest doctor, the great physician? John Roddy?
Jesus.
That's right. And it says in the psalm that we were just singing, he heals the brokenhearted. And he binds up, he bandages up our wounds. And that's what Jesus does when we come to him. When our hearts are sore, like they are a bit today, we can come to Jesus, and he helps us. And when we know the sin that's in our hearts, and when we come to him and we tell him about that, he's able to heal us. You know, in this world, doctors and nurses, they can help us, but they can't always heal us. But Jesus, when we're talking about our hearts, he can always help us. He can always heal our hearts. He doesn't always make us healthy in this world, because we're only in this world for a wee while. He's got a better place prepared for those who are trusting in him. And when we trust in him, he promises that he can give us something better than cowpox. He can give us everlasting life. There was one bit in the Bible in John chapter 6. I'm almost finished. You're listening well. And Jesus was talking, and people had been listening, and then people started to stop listening. And lots of people had been crowding around Jesus, and at this point in John chapter 6, the crowd started to go away. They didn't like what Jesus was saying. And Jesus said to his disciples, he said to them, will you go away too? And do you know what Peter said? Peter said to Jesus, to whom else can we go? It's only you that has the words of everlasting life. And boys and girls, that's what Jesus promises to us. Life that begins here when we trust him. But it goes on and it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. And when we go from this world into the place he's prepared for us, it just gets better. That's his promise. So boys and girls, be opening your Bibles. Remember, it's medicine for our souls. And let's be coming to Jesus for the everlasting life that only He can give. And we'll pray. Lord God, again we thank You for Your word and for Your promises to us. We thank You that when in this world we're feeling like we're struggling, we might be feeling sad, we might be feeling sore, we might be feeling worried about something. We thank You that when we have these feelings, we can come to You and You promise that You'll help us. But we thank You, Lord Jesus, that the help that You can give us is much more than just making us feel a bit better. We thank You that when we come to You in faith, You promise that You will take our sin away and You'll give to us that everlasting life. We thank You that when we're trusting in Jesus, even though we die, we're taken through death into life that knows no end. And so help us, Lord, we pray, to be trusting in Jesus and to know His everlasting life. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Thank you for listening, boys and girls. You can head through to Sunday school now. And if we could maybe turn in our Bibles to Psalm 147. And we'll read the whole of this fairly short psalm. This is God's word. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor His delight in the legs of a man or of a warrior, it says in another version. The Lord delights in those who fear Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love. Extol the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for He strengthens the bars of your gates and blesses your people within you. He grants peace to your borders and satisfies you with the finest of wheat. He sends His command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He spreads the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. He hurls down hail like pebbles. Who can withstand His icy blast? He sends His word and melts them. He stirs up His breezes and the waters flow. He has revealed His word to Jacob, His laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. They do not know His laws. Praise the Lord. Amen. And may God bless that reading of His word to us. Again, we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We pray now for the help of the Holy Spirit as we meditate upon Your word. Give us insight, give us understanding, give to us that sense of Your nearer presence, Your ministry to each of our hearts. And what we pray for ourselves, we pray for the children as they meet and discuss the truths of the gospel in a simple way. And we pray for the churches around us. Every place where Christ crucified is preached. We pray, Lord, that you would be adding your blessing, that you would be encouraging your people, that you would be glorifying your name, that you would be seeking and saving those who are lost, and that you would be building your church. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Take my watch off. The clock is 7 or 8 minutes slow, so apologies, I'm slightly behind schedule. Sometimes we can be in difficulty in this world. Sometimes we can be struggling in different situations and not knowing what to do in our struggles. And then all of a sudden, without us even having to spend any time looking for help, help is at hand. Remember once being en route to Glasgow Airport, and we were cutting it a little bit fine, as often people do when they're heading to an airport, and just driving along and everything was going fine, and then I was starting to get a funny smell from the car, and then I was starting to hear funny noises from under the bonnet. And I was becoming increasingly worried. So I pulled over at a petrol station and I opened the bonnet to see what I could see. I don't know why I bothered. I knew nothing much about how to fix anything. But I could see, even from under the bonnet, that things weren't quite as they should be. There was liquid, there was diesel in places that there shouldn't be. And I didn't know what to do. I wasn't sure was the car safe to drive. And yet I knew that if I delayed too much, I was going to miss the plane. So I was worried. And then out of nowhere, this guy with an RAC boiler suit, he just appeared. I don't think he was an angel. I think he was just a mechanic who happened to be sent to the right place at the right time. And he looked at me. It was in Glasgow. And he said, "All right, pal." And I said, "Well, I'm not sure. I've got car problems." And he says, "Can I help?" I said, "Please. Can you take a look?" And he looked, and to cut a longer story short, he helped us. And he got the car into a safe condition. He says, "You're fine to carry on south. You, no problem. You'll make the plane fine." I didn't have to look for help. Didn't have to search for it. Just all of a sudden, the guy was there. The perfect man for the job was there. Now today, and in fact every day, we need the help of God. We need him every hour, the hymn says. But there are some days where we feel in a particular way that sense of struggle, that sense of loss. And we feel that today as we think about the fact that one or two people that were very precious to many of us have gone ahead of us from time into eternity. And although we believe that they are with the Lord, although we have that hope and that comfort, there is still a real grieving. There is that struggle. And with that as an experience, I wondered, where do we go in the Bible today for help? We're not in Luke's Gospel as we would expect to be this Sunday morning. And I wondered, as we came close to today, where do we go for help? But I didn't have to think long and I didn't have to look far. Because I believe the Lord took me back to the psalm that we were actually already in. Last Sunday evening, we were in Psalm 147. And so my mind kept going back to this psalm in the last few days. And I want to focus this morning on just one verse, which we'll take as our text for today. And it's verse 3. And it says in verse 3, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So that's our verse for today, as we struggle and as we feel that sense of loss. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So 3 points, hopefully, in the time that we have. First of all, we'll think about hearts that are broken. And secondly, we'll think about the healing that is offered. And thirdly, finally, we'll think about the helper who is present with us. So first of all, hearts that are broken. And the whole idea of a broken heart is not something we have to search long for at the cultural level to find. We don't have to look or listen long to hear people share stories of hearts that are broken. I expect a few people here could tell stories about broken hearts. But if you listen to country music, or if you listen to folk music, so many of the songs which have the greatest impact are songs about broken hearts. And even in pop music, the stuff that jingle jangles on our radios. The artists that I've heard, I'm not much good on pop music these days, but the artists that I've heard on the radio, artists like Adele and Lewis Capaldi, that their most popular songs are not the happy songs, but they're the sad songs about broken hearts. And it's just part of the reality of the world that we live in. There are hearts that are broken. And in our own experience, we know to varying degrees what it feels like to have hearts that are broken. Even as I look around the room just now, I can think of stories that have caused heartbreak in your lives. We know what it feels like to be wounded. Some may have suffered the breakdown of relationships, the pain that brings. Separation from family members. The struggle that we wrestle with over that. Others may have been let down by people we've trusted. And that's hurt us. People we thought were friends. People we thought we could trust. And they've betrayed us. Or it may be that our hearts have been broken through a loved one becoming ill. Or becoming distant, disconnected through dementia. Or even losing a loved one through death. These things hurt. These things, they wound us. They break our hearts. And the psalmists, they experienced much in the way of heartbreak. As we go through the Psalms, we don't have to search long in the Psalter to find accounts of heartbreak and hearts that are wounded. And we get a sense of the pain of that in the words that are used in this verse. The word for broken, the Hebrew word sabar, means to break, to destroy, to crush, to smash, to shatter. It's a strong word, it's a violent word that the psalmist uses in relation to the broken heart. And the word he uses for heart, it speaks about the very core of the person, the seat of thought and emotion and conscience and courage and mind and understanding. It's the very inner person that's broken. And the word that's used for wounds, I'm not going to try and pronounce the Hebrew, it speaks about pain and sorrow and grief and heartache and suffering. So we get a sense of pain from the psalmist as he speaks about the wounding and the breaking of heart. He's not talking about a trivial thing here. He's speaking about an intense inner suffering. Speaking about deep heart. And there are psalms that we can go, there are laments that we can go to in the Psalter that give us words to express what we can't find words to say when we're feeling sore. There are psalms that we can read, and as we read them, we think, that's what I feel. I just didn't have the words to say it. But I think today, something that gives great comfort to us when we feel wounded and brokenhearted is to know that God knows what that feels like. Now, when we're struggling, whether it's with addiction or illness or grief, we tend to gravitate towards the people that we know understand our struggle. That's why you have meetings like Alcoholics Anonymous and Road to Recovery. People who have the same struggle, they come together because they understand each other. And God understands our struggles. He knows them. It says in Hebrews 4:15, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness." God knows our struggles. He knows what pain and what sorrow feels like. Jesus, we're told in Isaiah 53:3, he was despised and rejected by men. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. Jesus knows what it feels like to be abandoned. He knows what it feels like to be rejected by his friends. When he went to the cross, remember, the 12 who had promised that they would be with him to the end, even to death, said Peter, they scatter. As Jesus goes to the cross, he's utterly alone. Jesus knows what it feels like to be betrayed by one who was close to him, is one of his own disciples. Jesus knows what it's like to be misunderstood. He knows what it's like to be talked about. He knows what it's like to be despised. He knows what it's like to be rejected. He knows what it's like to have people give him the cold shoulder. He knows what it's like to feel the psychological pain of public ridicule and disgrace. He knows what it's like to feel the physical pain of being battered and whipped and having nails thrust into his hands and feet and being left on a cross to suffocate, to die. He knows what that feels like. Jesus knows the distress of having a loved one becoming sick. He knows the grief of losing a friend in death and standing at a graveside weeping. And Jesus knows even the reality of entering into death. Something that we haven't yet done. He knows the spiritual pain of that. He knows the spiritual pain of our sin crushing his heart. You know, never was there a more broken-hearted cry than, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus knows all about being brokenhearted. He knows all about the reality of being wounded at every level. And I think that brings us comfort today. Whatever we're at, whatever we're struggling with, however we're feeling, I think this brings us comfort. This brings us encouragement to come to Christ when we have hearts that are broken. The atheist will say, or actually the anti-theist, Because atheists are aggressive today. They're anti-theists, not atheists. But they will say, your God that you profess to believe, he doesn't care about your suffering. If he cared, he'd do something about it. But as we open Scripture, we learn that he did do something about it. He left heaven to enter into it. He shared in it. So when we suffer, when we feel brokenhearted, we should come to him. We should receive the comfort that he alone is able to give. We so often sing the words of that hymn, can we find a friend so faithful? Who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. So take it. Take yourself to the Lord in prayer. There is hearts that are broken. The second point is that there is a healing that's offered. We've thought about the fact that we can be wounded in this life. We've thought about the fact that we can have hearts that are broken. We've thought about the fact that there is encouragement of knowing that Jesus understands what that feels like. We're reassured by the promise that he will comfort us in our grief. But in the gospel, in the good news about Jesus, we're offered more than just comfort for our sore hearts. We're offered healing. There's a healing that's offered. You know, in our bodies, we can be suffering, and we can receive the comfort of pain relief. You know, the child with a high temperature that's struggling with an infection, they get relief from the wee blast of Calpol, but if there's an underlying problem, the Calpol doesn't get to it. There's a root that goes down deeper that needs to be actually addressed. There's an illness that needs to be fought. There's an illness that inflicts our hearts, that brings all the pain that we're speaking about. So what's the root cause that lies behind all the heartbreak? Well, you know the answer to that question. The children would tell us immediately, it's sin. Everything that we're talking about here that brings heartbreak, that brings wounding, it can be traced back to the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God and sin came in. We go back to the very beginning, when God created the world. The world was not designed to be a heartbreaking, wounding place. In the beginning, this world was designed, it was made to be perfect, not painful. But sin changed all that. So all the things that we suffer under, and all the things that we sometimes cause other people to have to suffer, they can be traced back to sin. Whether it's desertion or betrayal or violence or illness or death, these things were not God's design. They were sin's distortion. Now, the Bible is clear, and I need to keep making this point, that our personal suffering very often does not relate to our personal sin. Think about the book of Job. He suffered not because he sinned. He suffered because of his devotion to God. Or think about the man in John chapter 9 who was born blind. The disciples said, who sinned? Was it him or was it his parents? Jesus said, neither. The suffering's nothing to do with personal sin. But the reality is, because sin is in this world, it affects everything. And it affects everyone. The virus that has caused us to have our lives turned upside down for the last year. It can be traced back to poor hygiene in some market in Wuhan, China. But it's affected everyone. And sin, the effect is felt by everyone. That's the bad news. But the good news is that there is healing that is offered. There's an old hymn that I couldn't find in any of the hymn books. But it draws on the imagery of Jeremiah 8:22, and it says this, there is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There's power enough in heaven to cure a sin-sick soul. And that's the good news. And we get a sense of the power of heaven, the power of God in this psalm. Look at verse 8. We're given this big picture of the power of God. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. As we look up, as we look around us, we see the power of God. He spreads, verse 16, the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. We think about the scale of that. We see the power of God. He hurls down his hail like pebbles, verse 17. We've known that even in this week. We see something of the power of God. And the psalmist says in verse 5, great is our Lord and mighty in power. We see this mighty creator, sustainer God in this psalm. And so as we look at him, we know that he doesn't lack the power to heal us. And then as we look to Jesus, the one whom each psalm points forward to, the one who is the image of the invisible God, we see that not only is God able to heal the broken, wounded, sin-sick soul, but he's willing. Remember the words of Jesus. In Mark 2:17, he says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, the people who think they're okay. I've come to call the sinners. Jesus is the great physician. And how did he effect such healing? You know, we're given balms and medicines of various kinds that promise healing for our bodies. But what is the medicine that brings healing to our hearts? What is this balm that's offered to us? What's in it? Well, there's only one ingredient. It's the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. No healing. But the good news is that on the cross, Jesus' blood was shed. It was poured out so that we can have our hearts cleansed, so that we can be forgiven, so that our broken hearts can be healed, so that our wounded souls can be bound up. It's the blood of Jesus that brings that medicine to us. Isaiah saw this in preview in Isaiah 53. He's pointing to the cross, and he says, surely he, that's Jesus, took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But, says Isaiah, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And listen to this, by his wounds, we are healed. Isaiah saw that in preview. And those of us who have been to the cross in faith, we've seen that promise fulfilled. We've seen and perhaps felt that healing that is offered in and through the death, the shed blood of Jesus. We're going to sing at the end, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, as vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying lamb, that precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed ones of God be saved to sin no more. So there's healing that is offered to the sin-broken heart. There is a healing that's offered to the sin-wounded soul. And the healing that's offered, it's a full healing. It's a comprehensive healing. The word that's used for healing in the psalm, it speaks about recovering fully. It speaks about being made whole. It speaks about being made fresh, being made new. And that's what God offers to do for us. He doesn't take a plaster and put it over the sore of our sin-stained hearts. He gives us new hearts. It's his promise in Ezekiel 36. He says, I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you. This is the kind of healing that is offered to those who know that they are sin-sick. It's a full healing. It's an eternal healing. And it's offered to those who will believe and who will come with empty hands and ask for it. So there's a heartbreak. Hearts that are broken. And there's a healing that is offered. And finally, there is a helper that is present. The psalm in the text you see there before you, it speaks about he, doesn't it? There's a subject here. There's a he that heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. And so we must ask the question, who is he? The answer is, he is God. This healing, this binding up work, it's God's work. Spurgeon says, he only can do it. God only can do it. I defy any of my brethren, says Spurgeon, to bind up a broken heart. I have often labored to do it, he says, but could never effect it. I have said a word to console the mourner, but I have felt that I have done but little, or have perhaps put the wrong mixture in the cup. He, God, only can do it. Some of you seek mercy through baptism, or the Lord's Supper, or regular attendance at the house of prayer. Some of you again have certain forms and observances to which you attach saving value. As the Lord liveth, says Spurgeon, none of these things bind up the broken in heart apart from the Holy Spirit. They are empty wind and air. You may have them and be lost. You can have no peace and comfort, says Spurgeon, unless you have immediate dealings with God, who alone, as the great physician, healeth the broken in heart. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And what I want to say in conclusion is that God is very present today. He's here. That's his promise. We're two or three gathered in his name, he will be here. He's not far off. He's with us. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And he came near in the incarnation, but when the word of God is read, when the gospel of Jesus is preached, once more, Jesus comes near in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he offers to heal our broken hearts. He offers to bind up our wounded souls. He's here to save us. Romans 10, verses 8 to 10, words that I often read with Ian, the word is near you. Who's the word? Jesus is the word. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Now today, with Ian's passing and with Dr. Hayes' passing, we grieve for them. But not as those who have no hope. We have hope for them. Why? It's because they believed in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. It's because they confessed with their mouths that Jesus is Lord. That's why we have hope. I want to ask the question, what about you? Do you have hope? Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus? Have you confessed that Jesus is Lord? Do you have hope? You called upon the name of the Lord Jesus for help, for healing? Because if you haven't, you still can. He heals, is what the psalm says. Not that he did heal in the past. It's not what it says. It doesn't say that he will heal in the future. It says he heals, present tense, continuous tense. He's healing today. The literal translation is he is giving healing to the broken in heart. He is binding up their griefs. This is a present offer. Some of us are waiting for a vaccine for COVID. We know it exists. But for some of us, it's not yet available. We haven't had the call. Or the second call. But this healing for sin, it's offered today. There's no delay. There's no waiting list. Jesus is calling us to come to him. And some may question the effectiveness of any medicine or any balm to heal, but the healing that Jesus applies is always effective. There's never been a case that's been too difficult for Jesus. There's never been a patient that's come to him and has been turned away. It says in John 6, he'll never turn anyone away. He will in no wise cast out those who come to him. So let's come to him. Let's come confessing the sickness of our own sinful hearts. Let's come seeking his healing of our wounded souls. Because he is able. He is willing. And he is offering to give to us that salvation that he paid for on the cross and promises to those who will believe him and receive in grace. We'll pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would take these words and these meditations and bring them in the power of your Spirit to our hearts and give us faith, we pray, to respond and to receive the healing that is offered in Jesus. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll hear the hymn 671 from Mission Praise being sung to finish. 671 in Mission Praise. We quoted from it, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains."
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, as vile as he, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away. And there may I, as vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying lamb, your precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more, be saved to sin no more, be saved to sin no more. Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Ere sinned by faith I saw the stream your flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing your power to save. I'll sing your power to save. I'll sing your power to save. Then in a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing your power to save.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comfort of God the Holy Spirit be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen.